I'm Gary. I am a sinner. Born in the world of sin
in 1963. Grew up in a world that really didn't know if they loved me or not loved me. Trying to find my way through this maze called life. I'm Gary. Saved sinner. 1982. Someone approached me. Well, it goes back to 1978, where someone approached me, this guy that's in sin. He didn't know which way to go. He thought telling dirty jokes in a class would gain him friends. A guy invited me to a Bible study. I'm Gary, converted in 1982, through an outreach of someone who wanted me to hear the gospel, wanted me to see clear of what God is. Didn't see the pessimistic, selfish, unholy, ungodly guy walking around campus like he had it all together. I'm Gary, Christian, 30 years plus. What's my job? What's my opportunity? What am I supposed to do now? My job and my attitude is to have clear-eyed view, looking at people through the eyes of Jesus. But how do you do that? You're around church people all the time and people that's like you and people that like the things you like and do the things you do. And, oh, gross, these guys are stuck in sin. What am I going to do? I'm Gary, trying to figure this thing out. Trying to look at ways and look at people and find things in which to get me involved in people's life so they can hear the word of God. Not just hear the word of God, but they can see the word of God in me. But I'm afraid. Because I too have sinned. Not perfect. But I know that God loves me. I'm Gary, a forgiven sinner, in which God wants me to share the good news and not be afraid and not be ashamed to say that I have shortcomings. Tonight we're going to take a look at this thing. Clear-eyed. I was talking to the college guys last night, and I was trying to come up with a title for this tonight, and my daughter came up with one. She blessed me. I was trying to do PowerPoint last night. I don't do PowerPoint. This beautiful artwork is my daughter, not me. And she said, Dad, this is what I do. Let me do it. I said, Baby, you've got it at 12 o'clock last night. But looking at people through the eyes of Jesus. And tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to take a journey with Jesus. And we're going to look at three people in the scriptures. We're going to look at a woman that was rejected by the world. We're going to look at a man that society was afraid of him. We're going to look at another guy that people wanted to kill them and despised him, but in secret, they wanted to be just like him tonight. And we're going to see how Jesus was able to help them and to see them. I want to look at this scripture found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to what Apostle Paul, that was scripture, what Apostle Paul said here in this scripture. Though I'm free and I belong to no one, I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jew. Those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself are not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like the one not having the law, though I am not I'm not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those that have having the law. To the weak, I become weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Paul, to start this thing out, Paul says that I become all things. And I know that's kind of twisted in our world today. How do you become all things and get involved with all these different people that have all these different sins and you know, seem like you get confused? You know, I'm trying to be too many people. But what Paul is saying is that I become so I can relate to them. I don't become like them. I want to relate to them, find something that I have in common with them so I can be able to share with them. A common goal. That doesn't mean that if I'm a crackhead, I go smoke crack. No, he's not saying that. But he's saying what you're willing to do is to sit down and relate to perhaps some of the problem that the crackhead is having. To the weak and those who fear, he said, I sit down with them and I empathize with them and say, guys, I know I've been there. I've been afraid and I've been scared and I've been, not wanting to take the step. I become like them so they can understand that I understand. I understand what's going on here and I can relate to you here. That's what Apostle Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture. And tonight, one of the things I want to get across to you guys is that I want us to see ourselves from the eyes of Christ and how Christ would do this. That's why I'm using these examples in the Bible. Go to the next scripture, Nathan, for me. Nate, for me. This scripture right here is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do no longer. Man, we don't view people like the world do. We don't look at people the way the world look at people any longer. Have you ever sat around and prejudged somebody and you prejudged them wrong? Has anybody ever done that before? You just prejudged, but look at them and they said it was dead wrong. It was a guy that walked into Meridian Wood Church of Christ when I was campus ministry back in the 90s down there. I'm going to describe him to you. He had long blonde hair. He had earrings coming everywhere on his out his ear, everywhere. He had a pair of cut-off jeans, and he had a pair of flip-flops. And he came to me after service, and he looked at me, and he said, my name is David Ward, and boy, have I been looking forward to meeting you. You think I believe that? I heard that you was the campus minister here, and I really want to meet you, and I really want to sit down and talk to you. So I say, hey, we're going to be meet me over at Wendy's over here by the campus, and we're going to sit down, and you can talk to me then, 11:30, Monday morning. And I came in there, and I sat, and he come walking in, and he said, you didn't think I was coming, did you? I said, no. To be honest with you, I didn't. I thought you was a freak myself when I first saw you. Let's be honest. David became one of the first campus ministers out of our campus ministry. Not only that, David came from Pontotoc, Mississippi. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Did I say that right? Pontotoc, Mississippi? Ain't a lot of black people in Pontotoc, is it? And he never really been around black people. And here he is. He's got this little, David was 6'2". David's 6'2". And he's got this little short, dark-skinned guy, black guy looking up there telling him what to do. And he's just smiling. He's smiling. Gee, I don't understand, but I'm going to go with you. I prejudged him. We ever done that before? That's what the world do. But when we don't look at people from a worldly point of view any longer, we put on what one of my interns labeled a class years ago. She put on her Jesus glasses, and her reflection and her look and her gaze at people change. And what she's doing now is seeing them out of the eyes of Jesus. And so you start taking a look at them and seeing some things in them, seeing some, there might be just a smidget of potential in them, but you see that smidget of potential in them and you say, I can work with it. You ever been around somebody get on your last nerve? You know that last one? Anybody ever been around that real last one? You can still find potential in them. You know? This whole series is just looking at your eyes, taking a look at people the way that Jesus looked at them. And guys, let me tell you something for us, and we have to, and I'm going to say this, okay? And if I offend somebody, y'all come and see me afterwards, I probably will. But this right here, we as Christian people, we have to start open our eyes more so we can start seeing people and not just being around people, but seeing people. Do y'all understand what I mean by that? You go to work every day and you see people, you pass people every day and you say this right here, and they say this right here, and they said, you know, the guy that works in two cubicles over from you, what color is his hair? And you go, huh? What color is his hair? Okay, what did he wear today? Huh? Because we get in such a routine, we don't know. And people around us become almost invisible instead of visible, so we can see them. We're talking about today, tonight, man, talking about opening up our eyes and we really seeing them. And it's going to use some examples of the ball. Jeremy, could you come up and read our first character? Where is Jeremy? Come on up, Jeremy. And we're going to go do this right here. I want y'all to look at this right here. Put the next one up, slide up as you come up here. How do we look at people is what we're going to talk about. Go to the next slide. Go ahead, Jeremy.
They went across the lake to the region of, help me,
Gerasene.
When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For four, he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside. The demon begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake where they drowned. Where they were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
Thank you, Jeremy. Interesting story. This guy right here reminds me a lot of the guys that come up to you at Walmart, dingy, dirty, perhaps asking you for some money to get a cup of coffee or get something to eat. Y'all ever seen somebody like that? That's what I visualize with this guy, except they have clothes on. This guy didn't have clothes on that Jesus met. It's an interesting story and an interesting tale, is because I could imagine on their way, they journey into the port there, they heard all these weird sounds. And they was wondering where in the world it's coming from. And it was him screaming. I don't know what it sounded like, you know. You ever seen something like that in the jungle? Woo, 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 woo! 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 You go to a football game, you know, see those guys. I played football, we had one guy, and that's what he did all the time. Ah! Boy, you crazy. Yes. And you know, you're hearing all of this right here, and you're just seeing something just running backwards and forward. And then they got a port. You notice the scripture says that Jesus got out of the boat. Where did the 12? What was the 12? The thing I use this guy here is that Jesus went to this guy. This guy come running. He was come running. Jesus walking towards him. But Jesus did not stop. Jesus kept walking towards him. He met him as this guy was screaming at him at the top of his lungs. What do you want from me? Do not torment me. Ah! But something that's interesting in this passage of scripture that Jesus did. Can y'all see it? What did Jesus do? Jesus asked the man, what's your name? I find that fascinating. This guy is just out of control. He wild, and they gave a description to him. The whole town tried to subdue him. They tried to put him in prison. They tried to chain him up. They tried to do all these things, and they couldn't do it. And right here and now, he stops in front of Jesus, and he recognized, you know, he sees Jesus, and he stops. And what Jesus did to this old crazy guy, he said, hey, not that you're a crazy guy, what's your name? Huh? Could you see the guys up on the mountain that was from the town? They see Jesus coming. You know, you see it from two point of views. You see the guys that, run! He's crazy! Run! And disciples say, I ain't getting out of that boat. I ain't getting out of that boat. You see the disciples, you see it from two point of views. Jesus got out. And one thing that Jesus did to this guy is he engaged. He engaged. Even though he was weird, he was different from anyone else that he ever seen before, Jesus engaged with this guy. And he asked him his name, and the demons came out of him, and all this stuff happened. And I jumped to the end of the story. At the end of the story, what it was is they found a man that was sitting at Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, because Jesus was willing to engage. So what does that mean for us? Brothers and sisters, there's some people that we need to just engage. And we might not understand, and we might not really understand what we're doing or how to do it or how to go about it. I love Linda Tyler. You know, she don't bring home stray dogs and stray cats. She brings home stray people. You know, and we all go, ooh, you know. And you know how Linda is, you know, well, they need Jesus like anyone else. Yeah, Linda, but you got to be careful. But she's right. But how about us? How about your neighbor? Let's just start with our neighbor. How about that neighbor? You know that one neighbor that gripes and complains about everything in the neighborhood. Did anybody have that neighbor? They live next door to me. But anyway, I won't tell their name. But anyway, they gripe about everything. What have we done to engage to see why they gripe? I call myself a Christian if I don't go and try to see what's going on. My neighbor thought I was the meanest guy in the world because she cut down my bush, and I told her not to cut down my bush. I said, don't cut down my bush. That's all I said to her. Maybe I'll look at me, Lord, and say, don't cut down my bush. Maybe she didn't like it that way. Maybe I should say, don't cut down my bush. But I didn't do it that way. So what we did as a peace offering, one Christmas, we made her a basket, gave her a gift card, and we went over there and we gave it to her. And she spilled her whole life. Then she got it for an hour. She's just sitting there. We were trying to leave. Uh-huh, that's good. Yeah. She said, one more thing, you know. She didn't have nobody to talk to. She's just gone through a divorce. Son's away in college. She's over there at big old house by herself. But we never know. By us engaging in people's life, you never know what's going on with people. And instead of prejudging, what we need to be doing is asking the question, if I was in that situation, who would come and engage with me? When I was telling dirty jokes at Grissom High School in our home economics class, there was a guy by the name of John Nyland. He did. I said, I can't believe this dude is going to tell me that I wasn't a Christian. Man, who do you think you're talking to? But John was right. And he tried to study with me. He spent a lot of time with me during the time. I didn't become a Christian until about 2 or 3 years later, but he planted the seed. See, the thing is that for us, is that we talk ourselves out of it because we think we have to know all scriptures and all of the scriptures. Sometimes you don't need to know no scriptures. What you need to do is know how to love people and know how to take care of people and know how to shake the hand and sit there and listen to people. Because I know with our neighbor, all we was doing, can't believe that, really. Wow, he did that. I tell you, that's all we did. And now when she comes out, she says, hey, But what are we doing? We have to make a choice to engage. As a result, this guy's life changed. Let me hit another point that goes along with that. Not only just engaging with non-Christian, us older Christians need to start learning how to engage with our young generation. They're different than we are. Boy, I have one that come and live in my house at least about 3 or 4 months a year. She's different. She don't think like I think. I say something, Daddy, that's homophobic. I say, what is homophobic? The guy's gay. What's so homophobic about that? But Dad, you don't just say gay. I said, what do you say? I don't know what to say. I'm from the old school. The gay is gay, I don't know. And she say, but Dad, you don't know. And I said, okay, I get you, And the tattooing and stuff like that, I've never done that, Or they think differently than we do. Being back and working with the college ministry, these guys think differently than I do. Is it wrong? The way they think? Nathaniel's mom was shaking her head, yes. No, it's not. It's not wrong. Don't tell Jasmine I said that. But it's not wrong. But we got to be able to embrace what they see, because what they're helping us see how to engage with people that's just like them in the world. They're helping us understand the language that college students speak. Shoot, I don't know it. I still don't. What's that group, what, GoMe page, what is it called? GroupMe, yeah, GroupMe page, yeah, that one. All these different stuff, I don't know all this stuff, they tell me, Nate and Rachel and take care of that stuff, I said, man, I mess it up. But they help educate me about it. Let's go to the next one. We at Michael, come and read John for me. John chapter 4.
The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. "Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is in spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he."
Thank you, Michael. This is an interesting story here, man. This woman, being a counselor and seeing a lot of things, man, this really hurts right here with this woman. And the sad part about it is that why in the world, you know, ask the question, why would she come in the middle of the day to draw water? It's hot, but it's quiet. She don't have to hear any chatter. She don't have to hear anybody whispering, saying that, "You better protect your man. She take your man." Nobody wants this one. She's not even fit to be around anybody. People take their children and move them when they see her, move them away, you know, like she got some kind of disease. And so what she decided to do, she waited until everybody, till the air is clear, and she walked down there by herself. Every day, perhaps, I don't know, it don't say how often she does it. She went to the well, and she saw this guy sitting there. Let me give you two descriptions of this. She saw this guy sitting there, and she going, in her mind, she probably said, "Oh gosh, here I go again." You know what I mean? Somebody's gonna just hit on me, just think that I'm this loose woman because the situation I'm in. Here it goes again. Then Jesus started talking. "Man, don't you know I'm a Samaritan and you're what you doing talking to me?" You know what I mean? "What are you doing talking to me? All I ask you for is a drink of water. If you ask me for a drink of water, I give you water. Matter of fact, I give you water that you won't even come, you know, living water that you won't have to come back in no more." She said, "Give me that water." "I don't have to come back and do this." One thing that Jesus did with this woman, he had compassion. He saw a hurting woman. He looked in her eyes, Jesus' eyes. He was able to look and discern with her, there's something's not right here, Matt. He looked at her, and he just started talking. You ever small talk with somebody, just trying to bait them into a conversation? You ever done that? That's pretty much what's going on. Jesus is baiting this conversation, having this conversation going on, and they're talking about water, but Jesus knows where he's going with him. But she don't know yet, you know what I mean? And they small talking, and all this stuff right here. She said, "Living water." Jesus said, "Hey, go get your husband. Time out." Some people put their hands on him. "What business of yours about my husband? You don't need my husband. I can take care of this myself." You know? But what she said, "I don't have a husband." Well, she told the truth. "I have no husband." She said, "You're right. Let me tell you something else about you. You've been married 5 times. And the guy you're living with right now, guess what? You ain't married to him. You're living in sin. And you must be a prophet." Not just talk to your neighbors, not just joking. "You must be a prophet." But what Jesus did, he did not talk down to her. He did not belittle her. He made her feel comfortable. And he's able to talk to her about spiritual things where she was right then and there. And she saw something that was particular about him because she said he was a prophet. And then she said, are you greater than Jacob? So tell me this. Let's get into it. Since you know so much, let's get into this spiritual debate. Jesus didn't get in the spiritual debate with her either. You don't know what you're talking about, you know? There's going to come a time when we worship God in spirit and in truth. She said, that's cool, you know, but you know, when Messiah comes, you know what's going to happen? He's going to straighten all of this stuff up. Just imagine what she did. Would just say, hey, I'm he. What? You know? What? She didn't feel threatened. He engaged her. He got her started talking about spiritual things, even though she that would probably wasn't her intentional. He got her mind relaxed and comfortable, and probably was one of the first real conversations she had in a long time. Just think about it. Even in our world today, you got a person that's been divorced and come up in here. You know, some of us have our questions. Let's be honest about it. You know, tell the truth, shame the devil, as my sister say. You know, we have some questions. Some of us might just say, you know. And in my neighborhood, is a lot. I mean, shame on that woman. Lord have mercy. When you go, Lord have mercy, that's really you embarrassing. Lord have mercy. Or we start asking questions to everybody else but her. You know, we say, so what happened in this divorce situation? Who, you know, this right here, we're trying to find out who was wrong, you know, in the situation. And the question is, does it matter? Does it really matter? And with Jesus, what Jesus did, he looked at her, accepted her for what she was very compassionate about what was going on, and it didn't. To him, her being married five times and been divorced five times and shackled with this guy, that was not the most important thing. The most important thing is that she needed somebody to tell her that she was special. And somebody to tell her that she needs that she's loved. Tell somebody to tell her that, you know, I be your friend. She needs somebody. That's what it's all about. Having the eyes of Jesus, we're able to discern. We're able to put our glasses on, we're able to see, and we can see the hurt on somebody's face. You can literally see the hurt on people's face. You can. If you're really looking at it, you can see the hurt on people's face. A person feeling rejected. You can see it. But guys, we don't pay attention to it. In order for us to engage in this world, we got to engage in this world, but we have to have compassion upon people, and we got to see people and stop judging people and start loving people, and so we can be able to share the good news about Jesus Christ with them. If we don't do that, man, this church is going to be empty. This world is hurting. It's in pain. And you see it. I was texting with someone last night. That woman is in pain. I'm mad as fire at her, but she's in pain. She said some mean things to me last night, Lauren, but she's in pain. So what should I do? Should I just write her off and say that, man, I hope she just burn in hell? No. What I did, finally this afternoon, I said, Lord, I pray that she become a Christian so she can see Jesus, so she can see the love, and she don't see the hate, and she don't see the disappointment, and she don't see the unfairness, she don't see all that stuff, but what she sees is the righteousness of God that's transforming her in the likeness of him. Whew, I don't know if that gets y'all excited, it gets me excited. And that's what this is all about. When you got clear eyes, what you see is that you're not caught up into all of this other stuff. What are you doing to seeing people? And as Adam Wood is, you're just being real with folk. Just flat out real. What's going on? John Coon. So what are you studying in your quiet time? Quiet time? You know, you don't even know me. What do you mean, quiet time? What is it? Well, I would study that with you. Really, I don't even know who you are. You know, but, you know, those type of people, what they do, and it is an example of that, they see people where they are so they can be able to show them Jesus. How about us? Jesus sat down with this woman. She was so excited about it after he got through, and she left a bucket of the water, and she ran back in the city. I don't know how fast she was going, though, you know, but she got there, and she told everybody that she could see to come and see. I found him. And they probably never seen her that happy, that excited before in her life. This woman has gone through rejection after rejection. She had 5 men tell her that she wasn't good enough. Think about that. 5 men told her she was not good enough. Women could not get divorced back then. Only men could divorce the women. They had 5 men tell this woman she ain't worth nothing. And she found 1 man to say, you are. Isn't that exciting? When we have Jesus' eyes on, guess what happens? We get to show compassion. And we get to show them. And they get to see Jesus not only in Scripture, but they get to see Jesus with skin on it through us. Nate, come and read the next one for me.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Thank you, Nate. Now look at this guy right here. You know, here's a guy that spent majority of his life swindling and beating people out of their stuff, their things and property. All his life, that's what he's been doing. He was so good at it, he was the chief. He had people working underneath him. The guy probably lived a very elaborate life, very wealthy life, had the best of the best. And there are some people that was around him that probably envied him. You know, they said, man, I want to ride in that Mercedes too, you know what I mean? And then Lamborghini, you know. I want to do that kind of stuff. And they saw the things, but there was a lot of people that despised him. He was one of the guys that couldn't go in the temple. You know, he wasn't accepted in the temple. And he was the kind of guy that will steal your mama's and your grandmama's last dime. Kind of reputation he had. And he was good at it. He was good. He did a very good job of discipling the people around him to be good at it. But something caught his attention. And the Bible don't go into great detail of what caught his attention to want him to go see Jesus. But he heard about this guy named Jesus, and he wanted to go check him out, see what's going on. So Zach, you know, he said, hey, you know, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go find Jesus. And I'm going to see him, being a man of short stature. Now, Jim Norville was wrong this morning at breakfast this morning. Said that I chose this one because he was the short stature. That's all right, Jim Nova. I ain't mad at you. John Canterbury thought it, but Jim said it. But and Alan agreed, not just joking. and so you see this guy, and he's good, but he ran to a tree to get up so he could get a better view of Jesus. He just wanted to hear him. But something happened. Jesus came. And he stopped at the tree, and he looked up and said, hey, Zach, what's up, man? Hey, that's my language, that's not Jesus' language. What's up, man? How you doing? You go all right? Hey, I'm Jesus. Hey, I'm getting ready to go have lunch at your house. You okay with that? Huh? I'm going to have lunch at your house. You need to come down so we can go to your house. Are you okay with that? Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going. All right, come on down. So he went and had a meal at this guy's house. And the term that I want to use here is acceptance. Think about it. How many people accepted this man in society? How many people accepted him? How many people trusted him? Think about it. How many people trusted him? Nobody trusted Zach. Nobody. Man, who gonna trust this dude? Man, it's still a dime off a dead person's eye. You know, he that's the type of guy he was. But Jesus saw him, and by him asking him, telling him that he's coming to his house, he saw acceptance. He was able to hear Jesus' message because Jesus accepted. Jesus knew what type of guy he was, but he just accepted him and said, hey, man, I'm going to just hang out. I want to just go hang out with you for a minute. Is that hard to do? Accept people for what they are? Not what we see them to be, but what they are? But Jesus looked at him and he looked at him and he went home with him. And he had such an impact on his life. Now, what happened? You know, people around him, the Christians around him say, all the people stopped murmuring about him going to this man's house. But Zacchaeus said this right, he stood up. Jesus didn't prompt him. He didn't say anything to him. I have not read a commentary that said that Jesus said that Zacchaeus, you need to get your behind up and say this right here. No, what Zacchaeus did on his own, he said, man, let me tell you, I'm impacted by this man right here. This guy right here, that in my language, that's my dude right there. That's my man right there. This is my man. And what he wanted to do, he stood up and said, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. By him being accepted, he took his possessions and he was giving to other people. Impact that your acceptance have on other people. Somebody walks through this door right now and they don't know Jesus, and they come in and they visiting with us and they don't know Jesus. You know, what would be a kind of impact when everybody in this room greet them? You know what I mean? Or not do this right here when we go, church is over and we get over here. Oh, I got to get over here with my group of people that I'm going to see at lunch in 10 minutes. I got to get over here and talk to them, you know what I mean? Or I know I'm going to see them at Life Talk later on tonight. Instead of looking at this person, and they walk in there, and they have one person that step to them and say, hey, my name. Hey, you want to go to lunch? Hey, we have a Life Talk tonight. You want to come in? We have a group of people. Let me tell you what it is. Group of people that meet. And we share the word of God, we pray together, and we eat. That's what we do at our Life Talk. We eat a lot. And so we have some strange people come and say that come to our Life Talk, and we don't know who to say. Who invited them? And then John Coon comes in an hour later. Let me stop. I'm being mean. I'm being mean, Tonda. John Coon comes in and say, hey, that's the guy. Don't even know his name. That's the guy invited me, you know? And all of us look around and say, who is this guy? Who, you know, nobody knew who he was. But the thing is this right here, is accepted. All of us want to be accepted, right? Don't we want to be accepted? Don't we want to come in and somebody embrace us and make us feel good and say, and we take a deep breath and go, I can really trust these people? When I start preparing for this lesson, and I told Jamie this was on my mind more than what I shared on Sunday morning, is that this is more pervasive on my mind more than anything, because for me, I had to ask the question and say, Gary, you know, how are you doing in this area? You gonna get up and talk about this. How are you doing in this area? When I first moved here, I had a Walmart down on University Drive, Walmart on University Drive. I designated the place where I go walk. I walked every morning. I dropped the kids off and I go walk every morning. And for the sole purpose in my mind, I was going to walk every morning because I was looking for my divine appointment. That's what I was doing. I was looking for somebody to talk to. And boy, did I know. I talked to all of them, you know, and I gave free counseling and talked about Jesus. But I had to ask myself, I said, Gary, when was the last time you did that? I go in Walmart to get what I got to get and get out of there. Gary, when we have really looked up and just looked at somebody that's there, it's one of the girl ladies that's back in the back that was stocking, and she looked at me and she go, "Hey, Gary, I haven't seen you in a long time. What's going on? You don't love us anymore?" I said, "I come in here, y'all. You know, y'all pretty busy." She said, "That didn't disturb you before." You know, we sit and talk. So I had to check myself and see where I am. If I become so holy and got it all together and I'm keeping it all to myself, you know, to that point that I'm not helping anybody else. And I was convicted because, you know something? I need to get busy. I was judging people just like everyone else. Man, that dude don't really want to know the gospel. I was in that same Walmart about a month ago. Yeah, it was a month ago. No, it was 2 months ago. And it was this homeless guy come up to me, and he asked me for some money. So I quite naturally took out my money, gave him some money, and I just went on, you know, about my business. Had a friend of mine that was with me. He said, "Gary, I got a question to ask you." I said, "What?" He said, "Did you ask him what was his problem?" You know what I did? I got mad at him. I did. I got my car. I said, "Who is he thinking he is trying to tell me? I'm the one that's been preaching for you. I should be telling you what it is. You know, what gives you the right to tell me that I need to be, you know? I'm going to give him the right." And I stopped, and as I was driving, I said, "He's right. I didn't. All I was trying to do is just trying to get him out of the way." So we have to stop and see in our lives how we're engaging with people, how we're showing compassion towards people, how we're accepting people, not just to accept them, but for the whole cause. They got to see Jesus. See, if we never do this right here, guess what? If John Nyland, Cedric Williams, and those guys never done this to me and say, "Come on in," I wouldn't have known Jesus. Except for Ed, we'd go and laugh at Ed's ears. Ed led our Bible study that I became a Christian in. But we have to ask ourselves that question all the time. Do you know that as Christians that we have a responsibility to do? And we don't like to do lessons like this because it makes us feel guilty. And it makes us hurt and it makes us think of different things. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. If you're feeling guilty, then the Spirit is working. That's great. That's awesome. The thing is I'm open and just, Jamie asked me to open this thing up and let you see. And from my vantage point and the way I teach, this is the way I want you to see is through people and through things. And Jasmine put some pictures so you guys can see this stuff. But I want to close in this right here. And I want to say this right here, Central. Central is a great gift to our community. It's a great gift to our community. So what I mean by that, y'all, more of y'all ask good questions. Let me say what it is. Good question. We have a church here that doesn't look like a lot of churches in our community. We don't. We have a church here that doesn't look like every church in this community. We have a church here that's got people who have money. We have some people that don't have money. We have black people. We have short people. We have tall people. We have fat people. We have skinny people. But our common denominator is Jesus. See, I come here a lot of times so I can high-five Matt's boys. I love them boys. I do. And they hurt my hand, too, because they want to see how they do it. But we have the greatest gift to our community. But the question is, does the community know that we have this gift? And the only way the community can know that we have this gift is what? We've got to tell them. Because Jesus has changed our life, and he had brought people together from all walks of life, old, young, black, white, whatever, brought us all together for the sole purpose to be a witness to Jesus. We are a gift to this community, to Huntsville, Madison County area. We are a gift. Guys, I challenge us that we need to let the community see this gift and share about this gift. And most of all, share about how we got the gift was through Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. It's a wonderful gift. And you know something? I'm so glad I'm a part of it. I am. My sister Carrie been sick. And my heart hurt. I love Carrie. Carrie is one of my encouragers. When we was going through the situation of getting Ryland, I know Carrie tell me every day when I see her, she's praying for us in our situation. I love that sister. Love me some Tonda Coon and our 959 children. Somebody's got to do it. Man. A lot of you guys in here, the Johnsons, the wonderful examples they show me in servanthood. Man, love you guys, man. Man. Kathleen, give me a kiss every time I see you. That's all right, isn't it? Yeah. You didn't give me a kiss today. I got to get it. But I love that. And sitting down. It's a gift. My brother Jay, work with Jay Campbell. At first I said, this STEM person is going to drive me nuts. Jay is one of the kindest, gentle guys I've ever known in my life. I love Jay Campbell. He does get on my nerves, but I still love Jay. I love Jay. Jay loves spreadsheets. That's great. But I tell you something else. Jay loves me. I know Jay loves me. Ain't no doubt about it. Jay Campbell loves me. No doubt. Richard Brown, many, many years here. And there's a guy about, I'm going to close with this, there's a guy by the name of late, great J.D. Jones. He always told me, he called me Songbird. He said, Songbird, you never forget where you come from. You always remember when you first knew Jesus, because it's always going to be an opportunity to share with someone else. Isn't that great? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the examples that Jesus showed us in his scriptures about how to look at people. Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters and myself, Lord, that we be people that look at people and willing to engage in people's lives and what's going on in their lives. Willing to show compassion to people. Don't judge them. Love them. Help them. Tell them the truth. But most of all, accept them. And Father, that we as a church family here at Central, that we can see the gift that we have to this community. And by seeing that gift that we have to this community, we'll be able to share it with other people so they can come and be a part of it. And seeing the ultimate, the reason why we have this gift is because of the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all our sins. Lord, I just thank you for this day. And Father, I just pray that something I said to someone, said tonight, Father, could help somebody. And to help them see from your lens. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.